Welcome to this podcast of sermons from University Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in Fort Worth, Texas. UCC is a community of faith where all are welcome, where we worship in a spirit of togetherness, where we embrace curiosity, community, and compassion. We don't claim to have all the answers, nor do we expect you to check your brain at the door, but rather we gather together to find the courage to engage the scriptures and to ask the big questions about who we are as people of faith, and who God is calling us to be. At UCC, we seek the sacred, commit to love, and empower to serve. And in so doing, we work together to transform the world through Christ's courageous love. My name is Reverend Dr. Russ Peterman, and I'm the senior minister here at UCC, and so most of these sermons are from me. Good morning, and welcome to University Christian Church, and happy Easter. We're so glad that you have chosen to worship with us this morning. My name is Russ Peterman. I am the senior minister here, and it is my deep joy and great privilege to welcome you to Easter worship here at University Christian Church. Please know that wherever you are this morning, wherever you are physically, wherever you are spiritually, that you are in the right place, and it is indeed good for us to be together in this way. Let's be honest. It feels a little weird, doesn't it? Easter shouldn't be this way. Easter's a day for big crowds and brunch, but it's not. So we're having to do things a little bit differently this morning, and please know that that's okay. If this is what it takes to participate in the healing of the world, to do our part to make sure that everyone is safe and healthy, then so be it. This will be the way that we worship. And the truth is that ultimately Easter is not about the big crowds and the brunch. It's about the good news. The good news that life overcomes death, that the worst things are not the last things, that the last thing, the last word always belongs to God, and that word will always be life. So we gather this morning to celebrate that good news. And can't we all use a little good news this morning? I want to invite you to take just a moment as we get started this morning to create a place, gather together for worship, maybe light a candle to signify the presence of the Holy Spirit, to grab some elements for communion, maybe grab your Bible so that we can read the Easter story together. And then, if you're joining us this morning online, if you're through our website, I invite you to click on the tab that says attendance and let us know where you are worshiping with us this morning. If you are on Facebook, there is a way to a link that will be there in the comments, and please click on that to let us know that where you are this morning as well. And if you are listening to us this morning on the radio, well, just honk your horn or wave and let us know that you're here. We're glad that you're here this morning. And then, after you have created your space and checked in online, I want you to take a picture. At some point in the midst of the service, take a picture of you worshiping with a screen in the background. And if you're a social media person, put that online. And just hashtag it with UCC Online. It's a way that we can show that we are in this together. That even though we are isolated, we are not alone. For thousands of years, friends, for thousands of years, the church has gathered around this day with a single statement. The preacher, the pastor, the priest, somebody stands up and says, "He is risen." And the response from the congregation has always been, "He has risen indeed." Church, He has risen.
On this Easter Sunday, it was always glorious to gather here for prayer together, see the sanctuary filled up, and understand that we were all church family together. So I want you, wherever it is that you are worshiping, to know that we are still united in prayer. I want you in these moments to take in one or two deep breaths and feel your brothers and sisters gathered all around our community, preparing to join you as we pray together as a church family. The Lord be with you. and with your Spirit. Let us pray. God of resurrection and rejoicing, this is not the way we want to celebrate Easter. We need to be sitting in pews today, holding our hymnals, lifting our voices, greeting the members of our church family seated all around us. That's what we need. And yet, if there were ever a time that the world needed to hear the good news that your Son has conquered the grave, it is now, Lord. We know the story. It is proclaimed in the hymns we know by heart. Christ the Lord is risen today. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Yes, we know the story. It's your story, all about hope and new life. So, Lord, would you help us in these moments of worship, exchange our fears and worry for an extra measure of your amazing grace. Hear our prayers this Easter morning for families who grieve around our world today. Hear our prayers for heroes on the front lines in hospitals and clinics, those providing emergency food and shelter, for leaders of our city and our county and our country. In this season of hope, hear our prayers for the church around the world as all the ways we find are changing for ministering in Jesus' name. As your resurrection people, we ask for wisdom and generosity and patience in the days ahead so that lives might be spared and needs might be met. Teach us, Lord, new ways to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Now, hear our voices, Lord, join together in the prayer your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
So we have four accounts of the story of Jesus' life and ministry. We call those accounts Gospels. And all of them move pretty rapidly through the life and ministry right up until the last hours of his life. In fact, if this were a movie, the scenes would move pretty quickly until they get to those last few hours, that last week. And then they would move more slowly. They'd give us more detail. It's almost like the Gospels are an introduction into the last week, the passion of Jesus' life, his death, and then ultimately, as we'll hear this morning, his resurrection. We're going to be reading from Matthew's Gospel, and I invite you to turn with me there. We'll be reading from Matthew chapter 28. Matthew's version of the story is a little bit different than the other three. In Matthew's Gospel, there are no disciples. There were just two women. There was Mary Magdalene, and then another Mary. We're not exactly sure who that is. Both of those Marys, though, we know from earlier in the story, they were there on Friday. They witnessed the pain, the suffering. They watched him as he died. In the other Gospels, they are going on that first morning to prepare the body for burial, but not in Matthew's Gospel. In this version of the story, they're just going to see for themselves. They saw what was happening on Friday, and it was so profound, it was so life-changing that they needed to go and just to see for themselves if it was all really true. And what they discovered really was life-altering. It was ground-shaking, not just for them, not just for them, but for the entire world. Hear now the Easter story.
The gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Here begins the reading of the word. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothing as white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Here ends the reading, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Allison. So friends, I want you to remember back, way back to New Year's Day 2020. What was that, like 13, 14 weeks ago? Many of us can remember what we were doing on that day, at least part of it, maybe what bowl game we were watching. You remember football, right? And I want you to imagine at some point, on that day that someone were to come to you and say that in just a few short weeks, the world was going to be shut down. That there would be this virus that would impact and infect millions of people. That countries would close their borders, that we'd all be quarantined at home like we are this morning, that there would be lines at the grocery store, that we'd all be wearing masks when we go out in public, that there would be millions of people that would lose their job, that the stock market and the entire economy would tank. What would you say to that person on New Year's Day 2020? Probably say that they're crazy, right? Now, granted, in hindsight, probably what we'd say is, "Hold that thought, I'll be right back, I'm going to go get some more toilet paper." But I think our immediate initial reaction is, that just sounds crazy. But yet, that's where we are. That's where we find ourselves. Our lives have been thrown into turmoil, and at first it sort of felt like an interruption, that this was just going to last for a couple of weeks. But the longer that this goes on, the more we realize that this is not just an interruption, that this is a disruption. That things won't be going back to normal anytime soon, maybe not ever, at least in the way that they were before. Because our lives, our world has been disrupted by this pandemic. And the truth is, it's impacted all of us, whether we have got the virus or not, whether we've lost our jobs or not, in some way, shape, or form, none of us have been immune to this pandemic, to this disruption that it has caused in some way, shape, or form. I have a friend who says that life begins when God gets our attention. And let's be clear, this whole pandemic thing, it's got our attention. Now, in the story that you just heard, Matthew, the author, certainly wants to make it clear that there is nothing subtle about Easter. The day begins, we heard, with an earthquake. The ground literally shakes. Now, the word there in Greek is the word seismos. It's where we get the word seismic or a seismologist. It's the activity associated with earthquakes. Now, what you need to know is that that is not the first time that this word appears in Matthew's gospel. In fact, three times it's used in the Passion story, the story of the final week of Jesus' life. The first time it's used is on Palm Sunday. Jesus makes his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And Matthew says that when he entered into Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil. The word that Matthew used there, turmoil, is the word seismos. He's saying that in that moment, everything was being shaken up. That no one knew ultimately what was happening. And I think that's a pretty good word, isn't it? Pretty good, apt phrase of how we're feeling in these days, that the whole world right now is in turmoil, that everything feels shaken up, that many of us have been shaken to the core and don't know what is happening. Now, the second time that Matthew uses this word is in Matthew 27, right after Jesus breathes his final breath. Right after he dies, it says the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were broken open. Seismos. The earth shook. It was his way of saying that things were falling apart, that everything was changing. Now, English majors and movie makers, they'd point to this and say that this was a foreshadowing of what was about to happen. Matthew was preparing us for what was coming next. And sure enough, on that first Easter morning, as the two Marys went to the tomb, suddenly there was a great earthquake. Now, many of you know that I grew up in California. And earthquakes, I need to tell you, are not that extraordinary. In fact, in Northern California, they happen fairly regularly. Most of them you don't even feel, or if you feel them, you kind of went, huh, what was that? Oh, I think that was an earthquake. And you go back to whatever you're doing, you roll back over and go back to sleep. It's really not that big a deal. It's sort of a way of life in California. And I have people tell me all the time, ask me, now that I've moved to Texas, how did you live there? How did you do that? How did you live with that constant fear, that constant worry about an earthquake that could happen at any moment? What I want to say to those people, what I do say to those people, is give me an earthquake over a tornado any day of the week and twice on Sundays. An earthquake, you don't know what's coming. You're just going about your life. But a tornado, you wait and you watch and you watch the news and you huddle in the bathtub with your dog. No thanks. No thanks. And besides, in California, we were prepared for earthquakes. We had earthquake drills in school. We didn't hang anything over our beds in case something might fall and hit us in the head when we sleep. We had a bin in our garage that was filled with canned foods and batteries and everything. And a few years ago, one of my children for a project at school had to make an earthquake preparedness kit. And so we put all these things together in a bin and we made a sign on the sign and it said there, earthquake preparedness kit. And 2 years ago when we moved to Texas, I was unloading the moving van and I came across this earthquake preparedness kit and I thought to myself, we don't need this here. But instead, what I did is I took a Sharpie and I crossed out earthquake and I wrote tornado. And now it sits in our garage, ready. But what you need to know is that last Sunday after church, I went back into the garage and I was looking for something and I saw it out of the corner of my eye. And I went back and I got my Sharpie and I crossed out tornado and I wrote pandemic preparedness kit. Unfortunately, I looked inside, no toilet paper. Apparently, I wasn't quite as prepared as I thought that I was. Now, some of those earthquakes, though, some of those are big. Some of them shake up things quite a bit. There was one in 1989 called the Loma Prieta earthquake, and it caused a great deal of damage in San Francisco, in fact, the entire Bay Area. Now, I was a student at TCU at the time, and so I was here, but my family and my friends, they were all there, and they still talk about it to this day, about where they were, and they tell stories about what happened in those moments afterwards. One of my friends was taking a shower, and he went running out into the street naked. My mom, though, was at a grocery store. And she was about 50 at the time, and she says that at the moment that it began, she was at the checkout line writing a check, and so her head was down, and as she was writing, she all of a sudden started moving, and she thought to herself in that moment, oh my gosh, I'm having a hot flash. And then she looked up and noticed everybody was having a hot flash. Well, that one certainly got everyone's attention. Big earthquakes tend to do that. Now, let me just be clear before we go any further. When I talk about God getting our attention and earthquakes and pandemics and all that stuff, let me be crystal clear. I want to make sure that there's no confusion about this in any way, shape, or form. I want to make sure that you hear exactly what I'm saying. And that is that those earthquakes, those moments when the world shakes, when there is pandemics, when there is turmoil, those things are not sent by God. God is not trying to test us. God is not trying to punish us in any way, shape, or form. And yes, I've heard people say that in the last few weeks. In fact, I even heard someone say not too long ago that this was God's punishment for gays and lesbians. I want to be crystal clear and simply say no. No. That what they said, those preachers, those false prophets, that is theological terrorism, and it is wrong. And as long as I am the senior minister of this congregation, we will continue to speak out against that type of violence. We are not being tested in this moment. We are not being punished. But it does have our attention. And it does feel like things are in turmoil and our lives have been shaken up quite a bit. And it's causing us to think a little more clearly about some things, to put things in proper perspective, to think about what it means both as individuals and as a congregation, about ultimately what's most important, about what community looks like. A crisis of this nature, of this magnitude, really does have the ability to clarify things for us. Caroline Lewis is a theologian that I read on a regular basis. She's a professor at Luther Seminary, and she also grew up in the Bay Area, and she has lived through her share of earthquakes like I have. And she wrote last week that this turmoil is forcing us, allowing us, maybe you could say, to go back and to remember what the church was about in the first place. It's enabling us to consider the role of community, what it means to be a part of something that is bigger than ourselves, to see what maybe we've been overlooking, that we've grown complacent with, that we've taken for granted, maybe that we've just sort of assumed. It's forcing us to ask what it means to be followers of Jesus Christ. In the way that we are navigating our lives, the way that we are living out our lives, the way that we act in this world. There is this paradox that is taking place, isn't there? My friend Dick Wing says that in this moment when we are dealing with each other from a distance, that we see just how important it is, how much we need each other up close. That we are learning in the midst of all this the power of simply being present. COVID-19 is an earthquake of sorts. It is shaking us out of our complacency and calling us to pay attention to what really matters in this moment, in this world. Like my friend says, life begins when God gets our attention, and for some of us, it takes an earthquake or two to do just that, so that we can hear what God has to say, so that we can live into this new way of being. There was a TED Talk that I came across not too long ago. I shared it with the staff. It's by an artist by the name of Phil Hansen. And his form of art is known as pointillism. And it's a technique in which thousands of dots are applied in patterns in order to form an image. Now, after years of making those tiny little dots, he developed a shake in his hand. And those dots went from being perfectly round to looking more like little tadpoles due to the shake. And so to compensate, he would just hold that pen a little bit tighter, which progressively made the shake even worse. And so to compensate even more, he would hold it even tighter still, which made it even worse. The tighter he would hold, the worse it became. Eventually, it would cause great pain and joint issues, got to the point where he couldn't hold anything, all because he was holding on so tightly. It was not only painful, but devastating for him. Here is an artist, and he was no longer able to create the art that he had worked his whole life for. He eventually dropped out of art school. He stopped doing art altogether. He got a desk job. But after a few years, there was a part of him that was calling, that he couldn't let go. He couldn't stay awake. And so he decided to consult a neurologist and went and saw a neurologist and discovered that he had developed, over the years of holding on too tightly, he had developed permanent nerve damage. But yet that neurologist took one look at his squiggly little lines and said, "So why don't you just embrace the shake? Why don't you just embrace the shake?" And he did. And he went home and he grabbed a pencil and he started making squiggly little lines and scribbly little pictures. And even though it wasn't the art form that he was passionate about, it still felt good to create again. And what he was doing was beautiful. He goes on to say that once he embraced the shake, that he discovered that he could still make beautiful art, that he just had to find a different approach to making the art that he wanted. That when he leaned into this limitation that he had discovered, that he found that he could be even more creative when he was willing to step outside of what he'd always known. That those limitations are actually helpful once we recognize where they are. They can help us grow. So I'm wondering this morning if there is anything that you are holding on too tightly. And it's causing you pain. It's causing you damage. That maybe you're holding on so tightly to the past. Maybe you're holding on to the past with a death grip. And not only is it causing you pain, but more importantly, it's keeping you from embracing the life that God has imagined for you. That God dreams for you. And maybe you can't envision it just now, but God can. And God calls you to live that life. Or maybe you're clinging too tightly to the need to be in control. And this pandemic is forcing you to realize that you don't have nearly as much control as you thought you did, and that you need. So what if this Easter is an invitation for you to embrace the shake? What if this story that begins with an earthquake that demands our attention, what if this story is a reminder to glimpse God in all the places that we don't expect God to be, to show up unexpectedly and to grab our attention? Because in that moment, God says to us, "It's okay. I've got this." You see, on this day, we gather around the promise that the world's brokenness is not finally what is most real and what is most true. On this day, we gather around the conviction that God has not given up on this world, that this world still matters. And if ever we need this hope, if ever there was a season that we needed this Easter, it's now. And so having gotten our attention, maybe this year, in the midst of all of the seismos that's going on around us, that Easter is a reminder that death and destruction, they don't have the last word. That God can create in the midst of chaos. That God can create peace in the midst of turmoil. You see, God always has. God always will. Friends, Christ has risen. Christ has risen indeed. Amen. I am so glad that we could be together in this way to worship and to celebrate Easter. I hope that this has been a meaningful service for you. But before we go, one last thing. There was a part of the Easter story, I'm not sure if you caught it, But there was a line there about the angel that showed up dressed all in white. I'm wondering if you had the same image that I did this morning. The image of all of the doctors and the nurses and the technicians, the ones dressed in their white coats, the ones that are on the front lines, the ones that are keeping us safe. They are angels indeed. And I hope and I pray that you will continue to hold them in your prayers in the next few days and weeks as we fight this pandemic together. And now, church, let us go, like Mary, back to the ones that we love, and let us proclaim the good news that we have heard on this day, that he is risen. He is risen indeed. May God bless us and keep us. May God's face continue to shine upon us and give us life now and forevermore. Amen. So thanks for listening. I do hope and pray that you found this sermon to be engaging and thoughtful and inspiring and maybe even a little challenging. I also hope that if you get the chance to join us on Sunday mornings in our sanctuary, you will. I think you'll find the welcome warm and inviting, the music inspiring, and there will always be a place at the table for you, regardless of who you are or where you come from or where you are on your spiritual journey. Just know that you're welcome here. And if you'd like to support the production of this podcast and the ongoing mission and ministry of UCC, or to simply find out more about this community of faith, we invite you to go to universitychristian.org. Grace and peace to you.